Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all still see me. Thank you for the invisible and visible thing that you
you have carried us through and all the dangers that you have brought us through when we didn't even know that we was in danger. You carried us all the way. Father God, we just thank you for being the master and the creator of the universe. Everything is held together by your powerful hand. And we thank you, Father God, for your darling son, Jesus, the one that died on the Calvary's cross, that we might have a right to the tree of life. One day to stand in your presence forever. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We ask you tonight to bless those that are sick, those that are shut in. Father God, bless the bereaved families as well. Father God, and touch them in the way that they need to be touched. Father God, we know that in your, you can do all things but fail. And we just want to say we thank you, Father God. And so now, Lord God, when we come down to the river of joy, we ask that you would shape the word as a vessel, bury our souls on the cross in the beautiful land, that we will rest and rule and abide with you henceforth, now and forevermore. And everybody say amen. All right, we thank God for y'all that have that. Hopefully that prayer covered every area of your life that under your need, and that everything will be all right. Spotlight, not only my song, when the people in the church get saved. I wanna bring forth another group called the Nightingale. And they had a song said, "Live where God can use you." I wanna shout out that song tonight. I can't play it. Because with YouTube, they got a problem with me doing that. I haven't had any problem with Facebook, but with YouTube. So I cannot play no snippet of the song. But if y'all have a chance, then go to the YouTube and search it out, The Nightingale. And look for the song, Live So God Can Use You. That's relevant for tonight's Bible study as well. Tonight, we're going to come from the third chapter. Third chapter of Revelation. And tonight, like I said, going to be a little bit unusual. I'm going to let this program work for me tonight, and I'm going to let it read perhaps maybe the whole chapter of chapter 3. So y'all just bear with me, man, because I'm not going to have to say much. But what I have to say afterward, that is what's going to matter the most. You got to have an open mind to receive it. So stand by. Stand by. Let's see here. All right. Where at? I got to find my reader, y'all. Just bear with me here a minute. I don't know why I can't find it. I had it pulled up. That is. All right. Third chapter, Revelation. Here it goes.
2:3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David.
Jesus speaking
he that openeth,
to the church.
And no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans,
right?
These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and did sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, thank God for his word. Now, it's going to take some, it really would take me about an hour and a half to really do this here subject matter tonight, justice. And that I don't have, so I'm going to have to compress everything in this. But bear with me, man, and walk with me and keep your spiritual eyes open and your spiritual ears, and then you will get this here just like I did over 40-something years ago when it dawned on me that, first of all, you hear, it says, hear he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, y'all, these seven churches, these were seven literal churches that was in Asia Minor at the time that John received the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. These were actually the churches up there. Churches that was established, a lot of them by Paul. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, most of them was established by the Apostle Paul. But at any rate, John was on the Isle of Patmos because he is witness for Jesus Christ. And this is where he received this revelation about these seven churches. Now, give me y'all, there were seven churches, literally, in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Those seven churches actually existed. And the letter that John, the Apostle John, wrote back to them, which was the book of Revelation. If you notice, each one of those churches had a distinct characteristic. They had a distinct characteristic. Some were good, some not so good. Some were a little bad, some not so bad. They had a good point, but yet still, they had a bad point. And the one that was talking to the church was none other than our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Savior was the one talking. Now, I see someone typing in the chat. Yeah, Revelation, the third chapter, Jack. And Jesus was telling these churches, look, get your act together, lest I remove your candlestick out and blot it out. This is what Jesus was telling these particular churches, because some of them Jews and whatnot. Like I said, y'all, it would take me about an hour and a half to do this subject then. But I don't have an hour and a half tonight. But just listen at me when I tell you, Jesus is the head of the church. These seven churches of Asia Minor, these, Apostle John wrote these letters, telling them what they was lacking, what they were missing, and what they needed to do. Let Jesus remove their candlestick. All right. I want to tell y'all something else about these seven churches. Even though they were seven literal churches, this is what I learned from Dr. Howard E. Stepp and Bishop Fulton Sheen over 40-some years ago. Not only were John the Apostle wrote these letters to those original seven churches, represent the seven periods of church history until Jesus comes. Let me say that again. Those seven churches represent seven time periods and seven phases that the church will go through before Jesus comes. Now, y'all, we know he goes through each church and give you the characteristics. Some of them good, some of them not so good. But nevertheless, all of them was okay except for one church, and that's that last church, Church of Laodicea. Look at the characteristics that he named and gave them. He said they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. Therefore, you make me sick to my stomach, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Y'all, that church period of the Laodicean church, that's the period right now we are living in right now. It's that seventh church. We're in the last leg of this thing, y'all, because if you look around, so Zach, Brother Hellman, y'all see it. Y'all not blind. Look around in our churches today. You got more lukewarmness than anything. People want to have one foot in the world and one in the church. They lukewarm. And Jesus said, you make me, is what I wanted to get y'all over to tonight. In this Bible said that the churches, the letters that John wrote to the original seven churches refers to all of us this very day. And we are living in the last days, y'all, in that last church cycle. We are living. Thank you, Brother Hammerman. Thank you. Your eyes are open. Because it is true. We are living in that last cycle. We're in the last leg of this thing. And people don't realize it. They just gallivagging around. They just messing around. They got it. They don't like nobody. They're just lukewarm. Nothing ever satisfies them. Nobody can please them. They talk about those that are trying to do the best they can. Because, see, there's no good. We know that. We don't have to keep being reminded of that. Jesus told us none is good but his Father. Jesus told us that. But with him, we can do all things. And right now, if we are not careful, my brothers and my sisters, if we are not careful, we're going to end up dying and going to a burning hell because we are in that last leg, in that lukewarm church. And if you look at all the churches that's on the planet today, the most of them, not all of them, but the most of them, and then you got some people, they are talking about they going to church or they... But see, it ain't just about going to church. Going to church don't make you a Christian. No more than standing in a garage make you a car. It's a relationship that you have with the Lord and Savior. That's what makes you a Christian. And you can't be lukewarm about it. That's what the point is about, y'all. And in Revelation 3, it gives you everything you need to know about these church ages that we done came through. If you look at the Church of Philadelphia, Philadelphia always said your brotherly love over here in America. But it was also a church that was represented back in the Bible days when John wrote this here. That church was very good. They got a very good name. Even though that Jesus still had something a little what against them because they left the first love. And that's what a lot of us have done. We talk about yeah, church ain't going to save you. Church ain't, well, church ain't going to lose nobody either. We say all kinds of stupid stuff so we can think we looking good, trying to be funny. But, honey, the day is coming when you stand before your judge. I guarantee you won't be saying no funny kickoffs like that. Church won't say you'll be looking for a church, but it's going to be too late then. It's going to be too late then. So, my brothers and my sisters, that's what I wanted to bring to y'all tonight to let you know that these seven churches that John talks about is not only talking about those original churches that were there then, but he was talking about the seven ages of the church before Jesus comes. And we are in the last stage right now, the Church of Laodicea. That's where all of us stand right now, my brothers and sisters. And I'm afraid for a lot of us that if we are not careful, we're going to skate right on in the hell, blindfolded. Bible tells us, I think Jesus said, it was a movie I saw on TV, and I believe it was. And Jesus played the guy that was running this little restaurant. And he said, nobody goes to hell blindfolded. Y'all, we got too much gospel being preached for anybody to go to hell. Ready in America. I ain't talking about the other parts of the world. Because the other parts of the world, old people are on fire for God. America now, we got some that's kind of doing pretty good. But mostly, we kind of lukewarm. We just got to say it like it is. Because we want to have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. And some of us, we got more confidence in the government than we have in God. Matter of fact, me and somebody was talking about that today. People got more confidence in the government than they do in God. They talk more about how you invite him than they do with Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. Y'all, we need to get our act together before it's too late. You're right, young man. It's happening right in front of our faces right now. That's what I was saying. It's happening right now. And people don't see it. Mainly because some people don't want to see it. I'm going to tell y'all something tonight. This still kind of skidding away from the Bible study. But I done told you what I had to tell y'all about them churches anyway. But let me tell y'all something else. This might surprise you, but it might shock some people. But do you know that some people on this planet, they do not want Jesus to come back? Ain't that something? They love this present world. They love this present world. They want more stimulus checks. They want more cheese and grit, government cheese and grit. They want this world and stuff, so they don't want Jesus to come back. They would rather the sin to continue. And as long as I can get me a block of government cheese and a stimulus check every 6 months, I'll be all right. Honey, that is a sad way to live. But really, truly, that's the very thing that a lot of people do not want. That's why you get such a static when you try to talk about the word of God and try to lead people to Christ. You get such a static because you got so many naysayers that keep saying, how do you know there's a God? Well, how do you know there's not one? Just like you. Somebody, where are I? You get there. And now what you going to do if there's no God? Well, I'll be all right. But what you going to do if there is a God? You won't be all right because you'll be in hell that you lift up your eyes. So I'd rather be saved than sorry. But I'm just telling y'all the straight truth. There are some people that do not want Jesus to come back because they love this present world. Jesus told us that, y'all, in the scripture. So tonight, I want y'all to read the third chapter of Genesis. I mean, third chapter of Revelation. And look at it for what it is. But remember, he's not only talking to those churches that were there. He's talking about further in the future. You see, that's where you got to be careful when you read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation deals with three all together as one. So you got to understand what you're doing. When you're dealing with it, you got to realize and you got to think three-dimensional. You can't think straight line in one dimension. You got to think in three dimensions. And then it will come to you with the help of the Holy Spirit. So like I said, y'all, that is what that lesson is all about tonight. It was about the church ages before Jesus Christ get ready to return to this earth. And we are at the last leg, believe it or not. We are at the last leg. And it is my prayer for everybody that we don't miss the train, because there will be no second chance. You better start watching that movie Left Behind. Because that ain't going to be that way. That's not going to be that way. Jesus said just as it was in the day of Noah. So shall it be when I come back. Remember, in the days of Noah, when Noah entered the ark and the rain came, what happened to everybody that was on the outside? They all died, didn't they? So all right then. So that ought to let you know about Left Behind. It ain't going to be nobody left behind when this Jesus comes and gather his people together. The wicked will be destroyed together. That's the Bible, y'all. I don't know what Bible a lot of people are reading. But the wicked will be destroyed all at one time together. He said, wherever the carcass is, that where the eagles be gathered together. You got to understand and look with the spiritual eye. That's going to be a great supper for those buzzards and everything, because there's going to be so many dead folks. So many. So, y'all, I'm going to end this here Bible study tonight in an official way. In the official way, but I want to say, yeah, I'm a man. And so, Jack, I thank y'all so much for being supportive in the Bible study, because like I said, it's not mine. It ain't about me, the man. It's not me. But we are co-laborers in this here gospel. And when this gospel is preached, the real gospel, the truth, then shall the end come. That's what the scripture says, that's what the word says. So we just want to say we thank y'all for coming tonight. Hopefully y'all will join me on next week if the Lord says so. So right here, we're going to end this here Bible study in their proper way. He said, well, may the grace of God and the love of Jesus and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with these people henceforth, now and forevermore. Let everybody say amen. And we thank y'all, and we're going to say good night to you. And be blessed and all of that good stuff. And remember, we are in the last leg, y'all. So let's run this race. Let's run this race with grace and with purpose. And let us do things. All right, now, Sister Jack, good night tonight. All right, Brother Hammerman, I'll talk to you a little bit. Y'all take care. Peace and out. Good night. Thank you. Oh.